This is HPR episode 2233 entitled Linux.conf.0 2017, Hugh Lemmings, and is part of the series Interviews. It is hosted by Clinton Roy and is about 37 minutes long and carries a clean flag. The summary is, Clinton interviews Hugh Lemmings of the Linux Australia Council.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
So here we are on the last day of LegisConf AU. So this interview is very good for me because it means I've now done at least one interview every day, which I'm very happy with. So this week has been the first time I've used this microphone. It's been the first time I've ever tried interviewing people. All of my previous podcasts, it's been the usual Clinton thing of a script and edited and percolated and waited. So interviewing is very new to me, so we'll see how we go.
And being interviewed is equally new to me.
So with me this afternoon, we have Hugh Lemmings, who was, up until the AGM, was the president of Linux Australia, which is the sort of umbrella group and legal group and the financial assets that let Linux Australia run all of these events.
Yep.
You are no longer the president, but you're on the council.
That's correct, yep.
And I suppose that you sort of see that as being a bit of a handover sort of period?
Yeah, it's been good. It was a bit of a... It was actually a desired result. I mean, it's sort of strange in a way to acknowledge that you're happy not to do something you were quite enjoying doing. But what Cathy Reid, who was our immediate past vice president and now president, and I sort of looked at is, Cathy had a really strong and, I think, really positive vision for where to take Linux Australia into the future. But we really did need the community to get behind it, because it's actually consciously taking on more than we had been doing, which is not something we can do as a council alone. We really did want to get the membership behind us. So what Cathy and I chatted about is that essentially we both stood for the president role and ordinary council member role, just as being the other, with complementary but quite different visions for where to take LA. And essentially I said, well, so if you vote for me, we'll just keep it ticking over, and that's fine.
Yep.
But Cathy's got a really good idea, so please vote for her and show your support, and we'll both work on doing that. And pleasingly, the membership really did speak quite strongly with its, well, it's not really its feet, I guess it's mouse clicks. And Cathy was voted in as president with quite a majority, but in a sense we consciously used as a plebiscite to seek to get the membership engaged. And I think we had one of the bigger voter turnouts too, which is pleasing.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So it was really a very pleasing result on every count. Cathy's very capable, she's very well regarded in the community. She has an excellent vision for where we want to go, and I think it's fitting that she'll be at the helm as we do it.
Cool. So obviously you're 100% behind Cathy's goals, but
yes.
I think I have had a discussion with Cathy about this prior, and I think I probably come down on your side more of the role of the council is really, and I think Cathy and I agree on the words and the essential things, where the council should just be getting the nuts and bolts right.
Yep.
And if there are people who want to do interesting things, the council is just there as a baseboard or a springboard to let that
facilitate
happen.
Facilitator,
perhaps.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I guess, so you've talked about getting the users on, sorry, not the users, the community on board with that decision, but how are the users going to actually, so the users have voted that they want Kathy and they want Linux Australia as a whole to be doing more. How are they actually going to be doing that work? How do they put their hands up and actually help?
That's a fair question. So I guess there's a couple of different approaches. I mean, in terms of the simple logistics of getting in touch is an email message to the council list, and that can kind of kick pretty much any conversation off. Perhaps a good example of what's worked well is I'm going to have a mental block.
Like the Treasury Subcommittee?
Yeah, Treasury Subcommittee is one, thank you, where we sort of... We've had a group of individuals who have expressed interest in the financial operation of the council, and that's actually been set up as a subcommittee. Another example is we did two submissions to government last year on policy-related matters, and they were actually all the heavy lifting of that, the research, the writing was done by members of the community who got in touch and said, hey, I'd really like to put a submission into government on blah, perhaps there's something Linux Australia would lend their pen to,
in a sense.
And it was dead easy. It was sort of that they very kindly went off and did the not inconsiderable work of pulling that together. Then for us as a council, it was merely sort of reading through this and, yes, this is consistent with our values. This is, and for my part as then president, sort of in a sense, leaning my pen to it, pressing a few buttons to submit it and went for that. And I guess that's what we hope will happen with here. I think there's a great, Linux Australia should play a greater role in those representations of government, having a bit of voice in public policy, and essentially any member of the community has a view on that is welcome to get in touch with council and say, I think I'd like to write a paper on such and such, or put a submission in on this, and we can kind of go from there.
Cool.
The other thing I think in that space, and I sort of touched on this at different points in a couple of mailings to the Linux Australia mailing list, which, as you'd be aware of it, for the benefit of the listeners, is the main sort of discussion list for Linux Australia, is the forum where we talk about community-related stuff or Linux Australia-related stuff. I certainly encourage people to give thought to what they email about, but also whether the particular matter at hand is something that makes sense to go to the Linux Australia mailing list, which is a much broader list, I think 600 or 700 people on it or something like that, and can be a little bit chaotic, I guess, at times. Or, of course, they can email the council directly. And I'm not saying that in any way, shape or form to suggest that there shouldn't be transparency and all the organisation's operations are, but occasionally things pop up where, if it's a quiet conversation with council, it's often easier to have a little bit more nuance than it is in a more broadly read form. Again, we're not going to do anything underhand, iffy or anything like that, but just it's a difference between a conversation you and I might have in a private forum versus at the bar and amongst a group of people sort of thing or whatever.
And you can raise more contentious issues and not have to worry about the crowd sort of running away with it.
I think there is that element, and it's we have had instances that in the past, let's be plain, where I think with good intent people have flagged stuff and it has digressed, and I don't think that's necessarily been to the betterment of the free software commons overall or certainly the local one.
I guess as a myself being a nuts and bolts kind of guy, the thing that I have sunk most of my time in for Linux Australia has actually been working on the software front.
Yes.
And I'm very, very pleased with some of the things I've seen at this conference, that Chris's new conference platform, he's been able to quickly add a new ticket type for the raffle tickets, for example.
Yeah.
And under the old system, I would not want to go near that at all. But because he's been able to do a few of those things, I hold a great hope that the new software system that he's come up with will be something that's actually much easier to move forward with.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, and it's Chris and crew have done an excellent job on that. And I think Chris individually demonstrated an enormous amount of initiative to sort of kick that off and run with it, and not in considerable amount of actually organising the conference at the same time. But I think he made a very strong case to do that work. I've got some funding, forgive me.
PSF,
thank you, to fund it, which is excellent, because we've ended up with a tool now that all future events, not just Linux Australia events, can use. Yeah. So very much a win all round.
And I would, I've used the previous system for LCA, OSDC, and PyCon.
Yeah.
And it's always been a bit of a struggle.
Yes.
So we will be using that new system for PyCon Australia later in the year.
Yep.
Like there's already a little instance up that they're playing around with.
Mm.
And hopefully we will be able to iron out any issues.
That's great. I think that it brings to mind, Clinton, as another thing in that sort of general area too, and I touched on this in the AGM and in my president's report, is that one of the things we've tried to do over the years with Linux Australia is to sort of have a grants program or fund initiatives where it makes sense to do so. And we've ended up in a very fortunate situation. We have a fairly healthy bank balance. It's not infinite by any means, but it's a healthy one, and we certainly encourage the listeners and membership to consider whether there's projects or things they'd like to do that might meet our criteria for funding in its various different forms. Tridge said to me many, many years ago, quite a number of years ago, and actually, because it was back when we were both, one year when we were both on the council, that sort of, in a sense, Linux Australia's goal should be to have as little money in the bank as possible,
right,
because we should be giving it back to the community.
Yep.
Now, he didn't mean that quite literally, but there is certainly a grain of truth to that sort of, it would be a tremendous shame if there's members of the free software community, particularly the in our region, who, well, I'd really love to do this particular thing, but I lack a tool or a piece of hardware or, you know, whatever it might be to do it. Have a look and see where we, and again, you can do that through the committee address.
Yep. So I know you've been very busy this year, but are you actually speaking this year at the conference?
I'm not, unfortunately, no.
Okay.
It's been quite a few years now since, I think last time I spoke was probably, I want to say it's probably John Oxer and I did a joint presentation on some Arduino stuff a few years ago now. I've been, I suppose I'm about to place myself on the public record, which can often be a mixed blessing, but I'm cautiously optimistic that by not having as time critical or time consuming role on council as I did last year, that I might actually be able to use some of the time I did spend as president actually tinkering on some code. And I've been very much enjoying getting back to the IoT sort of roots a little bit, and my background's hardware originally. So, the point of that being that I hope for next LCA I might actually have done something interesting this year, which I can actually talk about.
Excellent, cool. I've been way too busy with stuff to think about interesting, cool things to even put a talk in this year. Not that that seemed to hurt the numbers. Like it was like 421 talk sessions, I think. So they didn't need my 14th attempt at how to write the perfect parser generator talk. So it's been good this year. There's been a number of talks that have sort of blown my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still, like, I don't know if this is me maturing or what, but in previous years I've always been able to go back to work and back to home projects, having come across three or four different projects where it's like, right, I have to start integrating that project into my tool. Cool, yeah. I haven't come across anything like that this year. So I'm still sort of hopeful that I'll come away with that. Have you come across anything that you think is going to change the way you do your day-to-day stuff at all?
I think direct day-to-day stuff, less so. I think what it has changed, or what it will change, I hope, is some of the attitudinal pieces. We've had a couple of talks which I think have been quite, not confronting is not quite the word I'm looking for, but just timely reminders that the broader battle we have around open standards and freedoms and so forth is one we still need to continue to engage with. So that's been, I found that sort of a positive personal challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things I'm doing actually right at this moment, which is slightly daft, is carrying my work laptop around, which is a Mac OS machine, does all the things I need to for work, but also an older ThinkPad, which is what I do my Linux stuff on, because sometimes, you do, particularly with hardware-related things, you often don't want a VM between you and the ports.
Yep.
But it was nice to sit in on the Open Hardware Miniconf, for example, at the start of the week and tinker around with that and just be reminded, yes, I can actually read C code and sat in Paul McKenney's talk on memory management, and was one of the other kernel-related talks. I actually do remember how the kernel works, and it's been quite a while now, professionally, but it was, I suppose, a timely challenge for me that, while it won't, to your question, won't change necessarily what I'm doing day-to-day and how I do things, I think it will actually change what I do, because I'll be much more inclined to tinker with stuff. And
so it's sort of been a little bit of a confidence booster in a certain respect.
Yes, yeah, yeah. I think that's true, and also a reminder that we've there's some interesting non-Linux kernel-related stuff popping up in the Internet of Things space. The FreeRTOS and what's the other one, the Linux Foundation sponsoring, got involved with. I'm not going to be able to remember the name of it.
That's all good.
But, so there's... Because my original background is embedded controllers and small systems, and when I actually worked on the kernel, it was probably quite a lot smaller than it is now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so it'd be nice to possibly get back to that as a hobby thing rather than as a professional thing, I suspect.
Cool. Yeah, Paul's talk on trying to come up with a formal memory model Linux... for computers, basically. That was definitely the most difficult talk I've been at, but you know, it's Paul, so
yeah.
All of his talks tend to be rather difficult.
Well, they're complicated. I don't know what your impression is, but the thing I always enjoy about those much more detailed, or much more sort of, I hesitate to use theoretical, but perhaps pure comp sci talks, and Jacinta Richardson's talk on algorithms actually was another that I saw today, which had a similar sort of flavour for me. Is it's just that wonderful reminder that the commons we're engaged in, as a technical discipline, does have a fine and long-standing reputation of research behind it. And sort of, because I have a slightly unconventional academic background, I didn't do any formal computer studies until I did a master's much, much later in life. So I sort of missed that stage of doing the more theoretical aspect of computer science. But it's always fascinating to be reminded, yeah, there's a whole ton of theory out there.
Yep.
And there's aspects of the research that we do that are as true bleeding edge research and new as the more commonly seen ones in the media of medical research or
yep.
societal research, all of which are important areas. But it's just nice to be reminded that our very own area of passion and interest has that same deep sort of research background and continues to.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, like LCA is very much I shouldn't say a plumbers conference because that name is used, but it's very much a workers on the ground pumping code out and solving real problems.
Yeah.
And I think Paul is one of those speakers who goes to all the standards bodies. He was on the C++ standard group, so I think there's I hesitate to say it's some form of RCU, but there's some form of memory model in C++ so that they can actually do lightweight concurrency stuff.
Yep.
And then you sort of think back and it's like, what do you mean there's no memory model? There's no formal memory model. It's like, surely someone's worked that out by now? And it's like, no.
Hmm.
I've never been a low-level hardware guy.
Hmm.
So for Paul to come out and say outrageous things like the Itanium, it can, you know, reorder reads on a variable, on the same variable.
Hmm.
And it's like, how is the computer supposed to work if that's the case?
That's right.
And for Paul to come out and say that he sort of struggled to formalise some parts of RCU is really of great comfort to those of lesser minds like myself. It's a very, a very tricksy world. And I've actually used the user space RCU. So I do actually kind of vaguely understand some parts of it. But when you realise that all these things are actually on really shaky foundations, and there's no formal foundation, but it all works really well. So that talk, like, I'm going to have to go through that talk again. Similarly to the keynote this morning.
Yes.
I'll have to play that at half
speed. That will take several listens. We've had a very, very strong run of keynotes this conference, which continues a fine tradition actually in that regard. But this morning's was certainly one to have another listen to at half speed and absorb it and reflect several times, I think, and delivered with such panache and ease, I think, enviably so. Actually.
Yes, it's one of those things, like I get into arguments every now and again with people who complain about the quality of the speakers that we sometimes get, because it's a technical conference. Most of the people, they are technicians by day, and the doing the talk thing is just well outside of what they're normally used to.
Yeah.
and I won't go into particular names. Mm. We've had certain keynotes in previous years, and the overwhelming reaction was one of was a negative one.
Mm.
And I'm very much focused on learning stuff,
yep,
rather than, you know, are they a good showman?
Yes, indeed.
And I think this morning is one of those times where we got someone who has thought deeply about this issue and is a showman.
Yeah, and it's a rare thing. It's interesting. So I think with your point about the talks more generally, I think generally we punch well above our weight there. But one of the things I'm struck by, and I've seen have this conversation once or twice at each conference, is someone says, "Oh, you know, I've always wanted to speak at LCA, but I don't think what I work on is interesting enough." And I think it's very, very rare indeed that people's work is actually not interesting to someone. If all you do day by day is system, particular aspect of system administration, or you tinker with VHDL for microprocessors or whatever it might be, it becomes common for you. So you forget that for the person who's doing sysadmin, VHDL is just this amazing, wow,
yeah,
I'd love to know, and vice versa,
yep,
sort of thing. So
yep,
I really do encourage all people, and I had a couple of conversations this conference and perhaps through the medium of this this interview, sort of encourage people to consider putting talks forward, because what you work on is, or maybe it's your hobby or whatever you might do, it's almost certainly interesting to, in a technical sense, to other attendees.
And I mean, there's even been a couple of non-technical talks this year that have really done like that. There was one on, fortunately everything's videoed, so I'll actually be able to see all these things, but there was one on like whether or not knitting was computing, like whether it was, I think it was basically whether or not knitting is Turing complete, or some subset of knitting is Turing complete, and obviously the links between knitting and looming go way back.
Yeah.
There's a lot of interesting things that are outside the technical realm. A lot of people here would be really, really interested.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to going and seeing a lot of videos.
Indeed. Yeah, I have a friend and former colleague back home who wasn't able to attend, but actually apparently has spent most of the week sort of watching the live streams and also writing notes about other tours. Another talk I enjoyed was the forgotten the chap who presented, but it was the one about hacking the entertainment system in his car, /dev/handbrake or something like that.
Yep.
But it was all relating to a particular brand and model of car, which my friend actually has. So I messaged, you really need to watch the live stream there. So actually, I already am. it's good. Very rich program this year.
Yeah, no, it's been good. It's one of those things that I'll need to sort of sit down and think about it, but this year is my 16th year.
Okay. Yeah.
And I need to, going forwards, I need to basically convince work to send me.
Mm.
So I need to sit down and tease out the bits I enjoy versus the bits that I get something out of.
Yeah.
So I think that'll be an interesting process for me over the next year. As I was talking about you before, I'm not on the council. I'm not going to be doing that much for PyCon AU this year because I've done the handover.
Yeah,
so
cool.
It's
really grateful for your efforts.
My baby has been let go.
Yep.
I've got all this time free, so I have to work out what I'm going to do this year. So yeah.
Well, wish you happy hacking on that one.
Yeah, thank you very much. All right. Is there anything else you'd like to discuss?
No, I think that's a good wide-ranging conversation, as I say in the movies, but thanks for the opportunity, Clinton, and thanks to the listeners.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.